Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Gimel, and we're holding at the Halakha of Mishnah, right three lines down from the large lines on the page. So remember, we've got a little bit of a problem, and in fact, that was one of the last things that we had learned yesterday, and that was that, you know, you have got to worry in court sometimes about who's got the right to shecht first. Because, I mean, each one of these guys who bought your animals, one brought the aim and one bought the ben, each one may insist that they want to shecht today. But if one of them shechts today, the other one cannot shecht today. And that leads us to this Mishnah, where we actually have to worry about whether we need to inform you in advance that the animal may have a problem. And if you want to buy it, if you think you're going to be able to shecht it, I want to inform you that you got problems. So when is that? Normally, you don't have to take it upon yourself to worry that this animal is not shechtable because somebody else bought the aim or somebody else bought the ben. That's not your problem. Because why should you assume that this person was going to go and actually shecht it the same day? Okay, not a problem. But there's four times in the year where you do have to worry about that. And you are responsible as the seller to say, listen, my dear friend, Ima macharti hayo, bita macharti hayo. You've got a problem because this other guy may shecht the mother today or may shecht the daughter, and therefore you better find out what's going on. When is that? Elohim. These are the four times a year in which when people buy an animal, it's assumed that it's for the big seuda that everybody makes on this day. And that big seuda would be on four occasions. It is Erev Simchas Torah. We're not talking about your guy's Simchas Torah over there, California man. We're talking about the real Simchas Torah. Erev Shmini Atzeres. And that's the Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag. So the last day of Sukkot, that's the day that everybody makes a big Seudah on, which of course is the reason that nowadays nobody's got time to make a suit on Simchas Torah and they do it everything backwards, because that's part of the mitzvah hashah, do things backwards. But anyway, at the time originally, the first day of Sukkot, there wasn't really all that much time to prepare a big Seudah. I mean, man, everybody's knocking in the last nails of their sukkah, listening to their wife screaming about the schachs falling down and running around trying to get a lulav and an esrog. And just as they're getting things ready, they find that the pitum fell off. Don't ask what's going on Erev Sukkot. So nobody's got time for a big seudah on Erev Sukkot. But when it comes finally to the last day, they're really ready to settle down. And of course, there's a special sweetness about the Seudah on Shmini Atzeres. That's the special day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Koshalai Pridatzchem, and we're so happy to have that special time that you're going to worry that if somebody's buying Erev that day, for sure, he wants to shech the animal for the Seudah. How about
Hoshana Rabbah?
What's that? On or
Hoshana Rabbah that we're talking about.
On or out. The other day is the day of the Seder. The Seder is going to be tonight. Erev Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. Everybody makes a big Seudah for the Seder. Erev Shavuos and Erev Rosh Hashanah, since again, it used to be understood, as it says in Ezra, that this is the happiest day, and that it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own desire to be Mechadesh the Olam, and that is Uzichem, that is your strength. And therefore, Asu Simcha Gedola. So it used to be that people appreciated that and made a special big Seudah on Leil Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you know, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili said that in the Galil, they also take the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, because remember, if someone eats on Erev Yom Kippur and as a hachana for his Yom Kippur fast, so it's considered to be ki'ilu It was as if he tanet tishi the asiri. So in the Galil, they would be very makbid on that. And therefore, Erev Yom Kippur was a tremendous su'uda, and there too you'd have to tell them. Amrev Yehuda, now wait a minute. The only time that you have a responsibility to tell the person is bizman she'en lo revach. If it's all on the same day, like it says, it's only hayom. But if there was an opportunity, so let's say somebody had bought it the evening before the day. So then you don't have to tell them, because if there was enough time to shecht it yesterday, so then there would be no problem. But Rabbi Yehuda is made that there is also a general din, and it doesn't even matter what if he sold it the day before. He is certainly agrees that outside of these special times, if you sell the family of the bride one of these animals and the family of the groom another of these animals, it's sort of reasonable to say that they're both interested in participating in the preparations for the big wedding feast. And therefore, they're going to both use this animal on the same day. And there too, should tzarech lehodiyah, because biyadua shishneihem shochatim biyom echad. Both of them are probably going to be shechting. And on these four times, we also have a special halacha where the chachamim changed the din of kinyanim, remarkably. And if you bought a piece of an animal, you can force a butcher to shecht an entire animal that could be worth thousands because you were promised a dollar's worth of meat. And we insist that everybody who put in their money is going to be able to have meat for the chag. And therefore, mashchitin et ha-tabach ba'al korcho, we can actually force a butcher to go ahead and sell you that meat, even if it means he has to shecht $1,000 worth of animal that he's got no buyers for. Afilu shor shave elef dinarim ve'inu lelokeach ela dinar kofin oto lishvot. If the buyer gave a dollar in advance and was guaranteed a piece of meat because the butcher was sure that he was going to have buyers and he ended up not having sufficient buyers, it doesn't matter. Kofin oto lishvot. And therefore, it means that we have given the buyer the actual ownership of the animal, and therefore, if the animal dies or something happens to it, then it's going to be the loss for the customer and not the loss of the butcher shop. Because this can only work by our giving the actual ownership of that piece of meat to you, despite the fact that you did not actually pick it up, I would assume. We're going to have to talk about that in the Gemara. I mean, normally we say you can only own something if you did Meshicha on it. And in this case, I mean, there was no Meshicha, I would assume. I mean, what, did you actually pick up the animal, or you led the animal in some way? So the Gemara will discuss that. And therefore, since you own it, you're going to have to take the loss if anything happens to it. But during the rest of the year, besides these 4 days, Bishar Yemot HaShana Ein Okin, you as a customer do not have any guarantees of getting a piece of meat. And therefore, since you cannot force the guy legally to provide you with that meat if he doesn't have an animal that's been accounted for in terms of his customers, Lefichach Imet Met LaMocher, if anything happens to it, he's the one that's going to take the loss. The butcher shop is taking the loss and not the customer, and if the person already paid, it doesn't matter, he's going to have to give the money back. So let's go through now in the Braita what the din would be, the implications of the halacha that the seller has got to let you know. The Braita says that because of this, we can always assume that the seller will let you know, because otherwise the whole point doesn't help very much. We need you to know that you can shecht. And because of that, our takana allows you that if you buy an animal and the guy didn't say anything when he sold it to you, you can go and shecht, and you don't have to worry that maybe someone is going to shecht the aim or someone is going to shecht the ben on that day. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said something very strange if you look at it closely, we didn't pay much attention to it. But if you think about it, it's a little bit weird that Rabbi Yehuda said, if somebody sells the mommy to the chosan and the child to the kala, why did he choose that particular way of saying who gets what? I mean, you should just say if one of them was sold to the chosan and one was sold to the kala. I mean, there's got to be a reason for that. What does that tell us? It tells us milta agavurcha, that the Derech Eretz is for the family of the chatan to be more invested in the wedding than the family of the kala, which will guarantee you that the opposite will be done today. And because, I mean, after all, we wouldn't want to do what's Derech Eretz. And therefore, he takes on this particular approach. Then we said, the Arba
Rebbe,
Pratim.
my daughter married into a Moroccan family. I didn't have to lift a finger. He arranged the Shabbos Shever Brachos. He arranged it because I was the father of the Kala. It was all on him as the father of the Chassan. It was amazing.
It's absolutely wonderful. Always pick a Moroccan family if you're looking for a chos. All right. We should have known that this Mishnah was in Barnea's neighborhood, and therefore we can actually witness it, Kitzurata.
Right. And the Tabakh thought it was a bull market.
You came up with that too late. B'arba'a prakim elu. So now we say that we could force the guy, mashchitino to ba'al korcho. And how is that? I don't get how that works. I mean, the guy didn't actually do a kinyan on the meat. And therefore, why should he be the one that has the right to be mashrit? And why should it be his loss? I don't understand. Mashach, he didn't actually pick up the animal, did he? Omer Avuna Omer Rav. Well, I guess the Mishnah's got to be talking about where he was mashach, because otherwise, how could we tell the butcher, he's got to go ahead, and how can we say he's got to lose his money if anything happens? Says the Gemara, come on. I mean, if that's the case, then the rest of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. It says, Avo b'shar yimot ha'shana ein orken. The rest of the year, it's not this din. And therefore, if in the same circumstances the animal dies, then it's going to be the shop, the butcher shop is going to lose the money. I mean, we're obviously talking about the same case. So if the Resh is talking about where he was Mashach, then here too it's talking about Mashach. So then I don't understand. Then it's the customer's loss. It's his meat. Omer of Shmuel bar of Yitzchak, actually, of course, it's not talking about where he personally was Mashach. But actually, what Rav was saying was brilliant. The din is, remember, Zachi, this is a Gavi rule. Zachin la Adam shelo b'fanav. There's a new din that is similar to a din of shlichut. A lot of discussion how it works. You could be mezaka a person even though he didn't make you a shliach to do something, if something is clearly beneficial for him. So what happened over here is that someone was mashach. So a person, an agent went who had a lot of different customers. He went and he did a meshicha, even though he wasn't empowered legally to. And he did this in order to make sure that all those customers would be able to have their meat for Yontif. And he did this as a favor for the customers. Now, so therefore, what Rav was saying was brilliant. These four specific times, it's clearly in his benefit. And therefore, Zachin La'adam Shelo B'fanav. But any other time, it's not clearly for his benefit, because if anything will happen to the animal, he will end up losing money. Therefore, there's four times a year where the Zechiyah Al Yedei Acher would be the equivalent of his own Meshicha. That's what Rav meant. So, Le'olam Shelo Mashach, he wasn't personally Moshech, but someone else was Zikalo Al Yedei Acher. So, B'arba Prakim Elu, where it's definitely a Schuz, Zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav, but b'sha'ar yimot ha'shana, where he may end up losing money, d'chovulo, because if anything happens to the animal, it's going to be his loss. So then he can simply say, listen, who told you to go and be mezaka me? What you did is not a schus, it was a chova, and therefore it still belongs to the butcher shop. And if anything happens to it, I'm not going to take the loss. The customer's money has to be given back to him. That's one explanation. Rebbe, it's brilliant, actually, huh? Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, the Arba Prakim Elu. Now, this works very well according to Rebbe Yochanan's own Shita. These are the four times in the year where the Rabbanit said, we are not going to make a takana, which is usually what we do, that money is not enough to make a kinyan, that you need to make mishicha. Because Rabbi Yochanan, Shita generally is, that midiraisa ma'ot konot. And the only reason that the Rabbanit said that money is not going to be a valid way to make a permanent kinyan is because of exactly this problem. If anything happens to the warehouse and the customer paid, midiraisa, the warehouse can simply say, tough luck, because this was all yours. But the Rabbanan wanted to make sure that a person who pays gets what he paid for. So therefore, they made a takana. That's not the only issue. Obviously, if the warehouse owner doesn't have to worry about it, he's not going to put in everything that he needs to put in to put out the fire either. Well, it's not my problem. It's the customer's problem. Whereas if the customer is the one who's going to be able to sue and get his money back, this guy is going to pay whatever he's got to pay to put out that fire. So the Rabbanan generally made a takana that money is not enough to establish you as the legal owner, and you only are the legal owner after you actually do an act of kinyan, which would require whatever, and in most cases here, we're talking about metalta, mishicha, or agba'a, depending on the cases. So therefore, in these four times, because we want the person to be able to be zocher just by paying money, we don't expect every person who goes into a butcher shop to go and take the animal and walk with it, you know, to be koneh. So be arba'a prakim elu, emidu chachamim divreim al din Torah. And what's the din Torah? This is Rabbi Yochanan Shita about the din Torah. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, devar Torah ma'ot konot. Actually, midiraisa, anytime that a person pays for something, it is his. Umata'am amru mishicha kona. Why did the Rabbana make a takana that you need to do an actual mishicha? That was a gzera. Shema yomar lo nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah. Because otherwise, a seller can always say, oh gosh, we had a fire last night. You lost everything that you bought. Why didn't you put it out? I didn't have time. Okay. So in order to avoid a situation like that, the Rabbanan made this takana. So that's all very good for the rest of the year. But on these four times, it's actually important that everyone should be able to have their yontav meal. And therefore, the Chachomi made a takana that actually it's yours, which, of course, can end up costing you money in the event that there really was a fire. But that's unlikely, and mostly this is a takana for you to be able to make sure you can eat on Yontif. And now we are at a very important moment, but we've got no one to fill the moment. Doc is hiding. He's got his head underneath the camera. I don't know what's going on. Ah, oh, look at this. We have a doc all of our own. Go for it, Doc. We've been waiting for this moment.
Zokta Helika Mishnah.
Man, oh man. Forgot that good old Lita. Yom Echad. Now, the Torah says you cannot shecht it on one day. But what is one day? Is one day like a 24-hour period from the first one that you shecht it? Is one day starting in the morning, finishing the next morning, or any time during that day, daylight? The night before, is that part of yesterday? Is that part of today? What is that Yom Echad? The din is Hayom Holech Achar Halayla. That Yom Echad is that Jewish day, like Yom HaShabbat. The night before is the beginning of the day, and it goes through till the end of the next day. And where do we know that from? Et Zo Darash Rabbi Shimon Ben Zoma. It says in Maaseh Bereishit, Vayer Vayivoker Yom Echad. Ooh. So what does that mean? Yom Echad, the word Yom Echad means Erev and Boker, right? So that if that's the case, if it says Yom Echad in Otoved Beno, you're not allowed to be Shochet, the Lotishkat Em, the Em And the ben biyom, no, yom echad, it's got to be the same yom echad. It's the same lashon, otovet beno lotishchatu biyom echad. Ma yom echad amur b'maaseh bereishit hayom oleich achar halayla, af yom echad amur b'otovet beno hayom oleich achar halayla. Tana Rabbanan, can you tell me why we need Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma? I mean, like, isn't all of the dinim that we have in all the halachas that I know about? I mean, we always say that the whatever it was nogea Shabbos. I mean, somebody has a question about whether Shabbos starts the next morning. I mean, we know that Yom means always Yom HaShabbat is then, and the same thing is true of anything that I can think of offhand where we have a din about whether the tefillah or the hashlama or whatever. It's all a function of the day going after the night. We don't always have to find the lashon of Yom Echad, do we? Why do we need Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma? For a very good reason. Because the fishe kol inyan kulo medaber bekachim. You forgot that the whole thing begins with Shor, O Kesev, O Eiz, Ki Yivalein, V'haya Shivat Yamim Tachat Imo, V'yom HaShmini, V'hala Yeratzel Korbani Shel Hashem. That is the beginning of the Mokar, and the next pasuk goes on to say, V'shor Oseh Otovet Beno Lo Tishchatu B'Yom Echad. That's how we ended up understanding that the din of Otovet Beno is true for Kachim, remember? Well, that means that it's linked to Kachim. And what defines a day for Kachim? Not the night before. Oh, no. A day for Kachim is if you shech something in the morning, you've got to eat it within the 24 hours. Lo totiru mimenu ad boker. And therefore, I would have thought that maybe the same way that a day is defined in Kodesh, that's the way that it's defined when it comes to Otovet Beno. Uvekachim, since we're only talking about kachim here, the kachim alayla holecha. So you might have thought that otovot beno is the same. Yochalav, that's why we have this wonderful Reb Shimon ben Zoma drasha that connects it directly to Maaseh Bereishit. Nema kan yom echad, nema b'maaseh bereishit yom echad, ma yom echad amur b'maaseh bereishit, hayom olech achar halayla, af yom echad amur b'otovet beno, hayom olech achar halayla. Lovely. So that is a perfect drasha. Rebbe Omer, I got something else to teach you here about yom echad. Oftentimes, yom echad means that special day, the yom ha-miyuchad. And indeed, when I say one day, that's like the special day that I'm planning, you know, one day, yeah. One day we're going to get them. So, okay, then that's a Yom HaMiyuchad. That is a remez that there is a Yom HaMiyuchad to Unkruz. There's a special day where you have to put up a sign and announce what we said in the Mishnah. Imo Macharti, Bito Macharti, and you have to tell someone. And that is basically what the Mishnah was referring to when it was identifying what is that special day, that Yom Echad. That is to tell me that Barba Prakim Bashana, Hamocher Be, Malach Averot, Tzarich Lohodi'o. And Richie showed up just in time to steal the moment. I'm telling you, Doc, this guy's got really good planning here. That's just unbelievable. Doc was looking forward to this, and you took it, stole it right out from under his
Well,
nose.
glad I could get in under the wire, but these are difficult days for me. Hard to, what do you call it?
Well,
Can I
let's
tell
see
you? My apologies.
how well can you do on a difficult day? We're ready for Hadrinalach Otovet Beno.
Believe that
Not bad.
Bunting the helicopteric.
Wow. Wow. Meanwhile, the moment that our attention was switched to Richie, guess what happened? You got it. Houdini. He's gone. Gosh, I forgot to put him up on the screen.
Rabbi, changing of the guards.
What's happening?
The changing of the what's happening?
No, get out of here, man. Changing of the guard.
What's happening? What happened is it's been happening a long time. What happened is, when we came with an Indian helper who was supposed to help us for the summer. And 2 weeks into the trip, she ran. She left. And, we've been trying to make do, but it's
All right.
difficult.
All right.
It's difficult. No,
So,
no.
all right.
Yeah. Well, that's
Okay,
him, she'll
then
be working.
we're doubly grateful for the time that you're able to make. Maybe Barry's on his way to you. It could be because
That would be great. I'd love to
he
have somebody here to, especially a doctor.
that would be great. That's terrible. What are you going to do about the vacuuming? No doctor, no rabbi.
Look, it's seasonally, it's very nice and dirty. It's supposed to be dirty. It's before Tisha B'Av. Problem is after Tisha B'Av, but we'll manage.
I'm so sorry, Rich. I'm so sorry. My God. Oh my God.
It happened.
All
Happened
right.
anyway.
Okay, let us begin now. You better give us another fine time to have a Kaparik after that long introduction.
Bonked in the hay.
Kisei Adam. So, as I told you, we had that template, and that template remains with us, even in places where parts of it are rather obvious. So, Kisei Hadam is our next mitzvah that the Torah told us. We actually remember we had actually sort of talked about it before when we were dealing with some of the issues of the determination of whether something is a chayah or something is a behemoth. So, right at the beginning, we looked into how it is it that we identify what the halachas are. Is it a behemoth or is it a chayah? But we'll go through in the Gemara, the Psukim, that let us know where this applies. And here's the template. Kisei Adam is noed ba'aretz, b'chutz la'aretz, which, of course, is quite obvious, because only mitzvos that are tluyos ba'aretz are mitzvos that would be different. So, but again, as the Gemara is going to explain, the template remains with us, even in places where we don't need any particular part of it. Bifnei Abayit, v'shelo bifnei Abayit, but it's only a din in Chulin. But Mukdashim, it does not apply to. Now, sort of obvious that Mukdashim, it doesn't apply to because you can't bring a chaya in the Beis HaMikdash, right? But you can bring a bird. And remember, Kisei Adam is chal on both birds and chayot. And therefore, but wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. But you don't shecht a bird if it's Kodesh. You do malik on a bird if it's Kodesh. And I thought the Torah says the idea is ki tishchat specifically. So why in the world do we include a bird to even have to think about it? So apparently, we view malika as a direct substitute for shchita because that is what is matir the bird. Fine. So therefore, we put in over here that nonetheless, it's not noeg b'mukdashim. We'd have to figure out why is it not noeg b'mukdashim then. In general, it is only chal on chaya and on behema, and it's not chal on generally on other things. And therefore, in this particular case, yes, yeah, you might have thought indeed that it was chal on the bird, so we have a special basis to tell me that no, it's actually not chal. But it turns out that the basis is a logical basis, which the Gemara is going to explain why that's true. Now, once we know that it's true only b'chulin, and we know that it applies only to chayav ha'ov, now what about if I have a chicken farm? Do I have to do kisei adam every time I shecht a chicken? Or is it like the din of shiluach hakein, where it's only if I bump into a bird that isn't mine that there's a din of shiluach hakein? I don't have to do shiluach hakein every time I take eggs in my chicken farm. The din is actually you do have to do kisei adam even if it's mizuman and it's your own. So whether it's mizuman or ain't a mizuman, It's all necessary. And you would have to be mechasa the dam of a koi. So remember, we learned before that even if you say the koi is a birya bifnei atzma, lo yichriu about whether it's a min chaya or a min behema. And therefore, it's necessary, mitzat hasofek, to be noeg because mipnei shu is a fake. But because of that, if it's yontav, you cannot shech the koy on yontav because you would have to be over on an iser on yontav, and the rabbanon don't allow you to be handling that muktzah. And even if you have ofer tichoach, that's muchan, no, I shouldn't say it's muchan, you have ofer tichoach, that's not an iser of digging, but still, you can't do it on yontav because it's a suffix. If you did go ahead, then they were not matir the kisuyadav. Im shachato, ein mechasin. Of course, that was the Mishnah that we referred to numerous times earlier when we were trying to talk about identification of what the koi is. Now, where do we get the idea that we find in the Gemara that it's not noig b'mukdashim? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah, is there? I mean, there's no pasuk that implies that there's a din like that. So why not? Perhaps it's because of what Rabbi Zeira said. So since, remember, we had before the problem of shechting birds in flight. Now remember, the Talmidei Chachamim were excellent archers, sharpened up the edges of those arrows so that they were kosher for shechita, and the best shechita would be boom, and right there you shech that bird while it's in the air flying. So we asked over there, remember, how do you do the kisui adam? Because since Rabbi Zera says in order to do kisui adam, you can't just run and find out where the bird bled. You would have to put dam underneath the blood and on top, because it says badam, right? It says v'chisau be'afar. So therefore, how did you? Maybe that would be the whole explanation of our problem over here. So remember the Lashon, we ought to, I should have actually spoken about the Pasuk before. Let's talk about the Makor. The Ish Ish b'nei Yisrael, u'minagera gor b'tocham, asher yatzud tzed chayav. A little bit strange. Asher yatzud tzed. So he goes, you know, he hunts, he traps, it's Tzed Chaya. The Gemara's obviously going to analyze those words. Tzed Chaya o of asher yeachel, v'shafach et amo v'chisahu be'afar. Afar lo ne'amar. Be'afar means you got to have ofer lamata, asher chetzer chitain ofer lamata before he shechs, and ofer lamala. Now, how are you going to do that if you're shechting the bird and you're putting its blood on the mizbeach? Are you going to put this offer on the Mizbeach? Well, how are you supposed to do that? If you put the offer on the Mizbeach and you say it should remain there, so then you're not allowed to do that because remember the binyan was defined exactly HaKol b'chtav miyad Hashem olai yizkil. David HaMelech was given over by Shmuel HaNavi the precise dimensions of everything in the Beit HaMikdash. So you certainly cannot add an extra millimeter of dirt to the Mizbeach, so forget that. And if you say, no, I'm just putting it down for a moment in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Kisui Adam, so then it would be a chatzitza, because something that's not part of the Mizbeach is chotzeitz between the Dam and the Mizbeach, and the Torah said you have to put the Dam on the Mizbeach, so you're up against an impossibility. You can't put it on the Mizbeach, and you can't put it on the offer, so therefore, clearly, there's no din of v'chisau be'afar with kachim. Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, it's true, you can't put the offer underneath, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do whatever you can do. I mean, just because you cannot be mekayim the full mitzvah of be'afar doesn't mean that you don't go and try to cover the dam. So, nehi d'lamata, I should understand you cannot put the offer on the Mizbeach, but you could put some on top of the blood. So lamala efshar, levat kisui, so at least put the offer on top. After all, we know in the Braita, Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Omer, that if you shechted a chaya, and then you immediately shechted a behema, so then the chaya's blood is covered by a behema's blood. Then there's no way to be mechaser because it's covered with the blood of the behemoth, and there's no way to separate it. It's part of melechaser. But if you first shechted the behemah, and then you shechted the chaya, which means that there's no dirt underneath the blood of the chaya, there's only dam behemah, which is chotzeitz, underneath the blood of the chaya, you still have to cover the blood of the chaya. Chayav lechasot. So you see that in the event that you do not have a situation that allows you to put the dirt underneath, you still do your best to put the dirt on top. So then why would we say that when it comes to kachim, you can't be Mekayim in the mitzvah? You can. I mean, not the whole thing, but you should at least cover it over on top, right? No, because this is Rebbe Zeira. And remember, this is another wonderful klal, agavi klal, that apparently Ori has taken over and was given the pen, the magic pen, to keep the list of. So Ori, remember this one. Kol ha-ra'ui levila, bila ma'akevet, ein bila ma'akevet bo. If it's something that is doable, so then you could have it not be ma'akev. What was the case over there? The bila case was the case that we just had in Masechet Menachot. That's the primary case, and we use the bila idea as the marker for the thought. The halacha is that if you have a maximum of 60 esronot, you can mix the shemen and the isorin, and the flour. But if you have more than that, you have no way of mixing it properly. So we say over there, that means your maximum mincha would be shishim esronot. But the Gemara asks, but since we paskin that bila, the mixing, is not ma'akev, so even if you didn't mix a mincha, it would still be kosher. So why do we limit it by 60? And that was the klal. If it's theoretically possible to do bila, then you don't have to do the bila. But if it's impossible to do the bila, then that would mean is that you're bringing a mincha that is conceptually not bila, and that is impossible. So if it's not possible to do, then all of a sudden it becomes critical. So the possibility is the critical factor. The same thing would be true over here. Since it's impossible for me to be mekayim the mitzvah of kisui be'afar, when I'm dealing with kachim, because of the mizbeach, I can't put it on the mizbeach and leave it there, and I can't put it on the mizbeach and not leave it there. So because of that, bila ma'akevet bo, because kosher in a royal bila, bila ma'akevet bo. Therefore, put the two Rebbe Zeiras together. One Rebbe Zeira is the be'afar, and the other Rebbe Zeira is bila ma'akevet. And because of that, the Mishnah says there's nothing to do. Ah, but wait, there is still something to do. You should scrape it off of the Mizbeach, put it on some dirt, and then cover it. After all, we have a Beferish, a Mishnah later, that says that if you have blood that's splattered over an area that you didn't think it was going to be going to, or it's the blood that's on the knife itself, you still have to do Kisui Adam, Chayav Lechasot. So what you have to do over there, clearly, I mean, you can't be Mechased while it's on your knife. You have obviously are going to be Megarer, Alma de Gorer, or Mechaseh. So you scrape it off and you put it on top of Ofer and you're Mechaseh. So why can't you do that here too? Scrape it off of the Mizbeach and go ahead and do a proper Kisui. So Hanami Nigror Unechaseh. Okay, fine. You know what? The truth is, if we were talking about, you're assuming all along that we're talking about Kachrim Mizbeach and that the problem had to do with a Chatas HaOf, let's say, right? So, okay, the din is, you actually would do that. You would actually do the Mitzvah of the Dam on the Mizbeach, and then you would scrape it off, and you would have to do Kisui Adam, because after all, the basar of the Chatas HaOf is a Shechita Re'uya, because it's eaten by Kohanim. So even if you don't hold that the Mizbeach is considered to be Achila, this is 100% by the Ola, you could say maybe not, but by the Chatas, For sure, it's a shchita ru'uya, and we're going to see we're going here like Rabbi Shimon anyway. So, ein hachinami, you would, in fact, have to go ahead and be mechaser the dam. But when the Mishnah said it's not noeg b'kachim, you know what it was talking about? It was talking about kachim b'erek habayit. And those things do not have kedushas haguf. And kachim b'erek habayit actually is considered to be the din aliba the Rebbe Shimon, your potter from kisui hadam, because it isn't roy to be eaten, and it's a iser of me'ila if you would eat it, because there's me'ila on kachim of bedek habayit, and therefore you don't have to do a kisui hadam because it wasn't roy la'achila. I don't understand. So let him go ahead and be poda it, and then it'll be roy la'achila, and then he'll do the kisui hadam. Why are you saying it that there's no kisui hadam? Because the inan ha'amada ve'ha'aracha, basically, if you're talking about a din of pidyon, remember that it says ve'hemir oto lifnei ha'kohen ve'he'arich ha'kohen. That is called ha'amada ve'ha'aracha. As part of pidyon, it has to be able to stand up and to be estimated. And that means literally, if something is dead, in this case, you shechted it, and at the time that you shechted it was not roi la'achila, you and no longer able to be poded to make it kosher. Okay, let's say that's true, because what you're saying demands two things at the same time. You have to say that the Mandi Omer of our Mishnah holds that Shchita She'ena Ru'uya Lav Shmo Shchita, which is why it's not called the Vishachat V'chisa. And you're also going to have to hold that Ha'amadava Haracha applies to Kod She'berek Habayit. There's only one problem. There's no such person. There's not a single Tana that we know of that holds both of those things. Because if you're going, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Meir is the one who says, HaKol Hayu Bichlal HaMadav HaRacha, that even Kodshei Berek HaBayit are included in the Chiyav of HaMadav HaRacha, Dafka Rebbe Meir is the one who holds that Shchita She'ena Ruya Ishma Shchita. So who cares if it's Me'ila? It's still, you shechted it. That's all that counts. And if you're going Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Shchita She'ena Ru'uya Lav Shmo Shchita, and therefore you don't have to cover it because it's not Roy Lachila, the thing is that Rabbi Shimon holds you don't need Amod of Aracha on Kachay Berek Abayit. So how can you possibly define this Mishnah, which says that there's no din of Kisui Adam by Mukdashim, which we've come out means by Mukdashim of Berek Abayit, if you can't find two Shitas in one person? So this is no good, because Rabbi Shimon is dafka amar lo ayu bichlal ha'amada baracha. He is the shita that holds that we do not include kachshei berek habayit in ha'amada baracha. So this is bad news. Amar of Yosef, it's not a problem. The Mishnah is not Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir. Guess what? The Mishnah is Rabbeinu HaKadosh himself. He decided he's putting out this Mishnah because he holds, when it comes to Shchita She'ena Ru'uya, he paskins personally that the din is like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he wrote this Mishnah, Libra Rabbi Shimon, that Shchita She'ena Ru'uya Lav Shmo Shchita, and he holds personally that when it comes to the din of Ha'amod of Ha'aracha, he holds like Rabbi Meir, that even Kachay Berek Habayit are Beklal HaMod of Aracha. And therefore, Amar Rav Yosef, the Mishnah's Rebbe, V'nasiv La'aliba de Tanoi. He wrote this Mishnah according to the combination of the Tanoim that he agrees with. B'shchita She'ena Ru'uya, where he paskins like Rabbi Shimon. So he wrote the Mishnah Stam, based on the din, that Shchita She'ena Ru'uya Lav Shmo Shchita. And therefore, since it's not Ru'uy, it is not Shayach to do Kisui Adam as a mitzvah on things that cannot be shechted with the Shchita Ru'uya. And so you'll say, but why isn't it a Shchita Ru'uya? You could do Amod of you don't need to do Amod of Arocha, according to Rabbi Shimon. Well, when it comes to Amod of Arocha, he holds like Rabbi Meir. And he says, even Kachibetek HaBayit are necessary to be Mamid v'marich. And this is a new Gavi claw that we should put in here. Or actually, we'll have to talk to Ori, it seems. So pass Ori the magic pen. And this is cut shebedek habayit, and then in brackets, lo, and then end bracket, hayu bichlal ha'amada v'ha'aracha. So that's how the Mishnah is going. And that explains, if we hold that, why the Mishnah says that there's no din of doing kisei adam on kut shebedek habayit. Or I can tell you something that's not that complex. Actually, we could say that the whole Mishnah is going aliba to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so you'll say, but why then can't you be poded? Ha, very good reason for why you can't be poded. You can. So if I could be poded, why don't I have to be poded and do the kisui? Well, read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Beferish, v'shafach et damo." So it's Ish Ish b'nei Israel, v'shafach et damo, v'chisahu be'afar. Now, but that puts two actions one next to the other, shafach et damo, and then go directly to v'chisahu be'afar. The Torah does not allow some other necessary step to be taken. If you need to take another necessary step, then you don't take it, because it's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to go from kisui directly from shafach directly to kisui, and in this case, you would have to do actually pidyon in between. So since the Torah says v'shafach v'chisa, it means mi she'enu mechusar ela shvicha v'kisui. Yotzaze shemechusar shvicha, and then pidya, and then kisui. And the Torah doesn't call that the mitzvah of kisui adam. And once you say that, woo, we now can go back and forget about everything we've said until now, because we said something that was so difficult to believe. Yeah, if you did melika and you put the dam on the mizbeach, I mean, we could just imagine what this looks like. You know, we've got like 100,000 karbanos ha'of every day for all the women that are bringing their galeda and everything else. But we've got these kohanim that are sitting there scraping off the dam from the mizbeach, bringing it over to a place where we have ofar doing the. I mean, this was a ridiculous picture. So, okay, but we had no choice. But now we realize, of course, there's no such thing, because the only way that then we would be able to apply the mitzvah of kisui is not by doing v'shafach v'chisa. We would have to do v'shafach v'garar et adam me'al ha'mizbeach v'chisa. But the Torah says it's only directly v'shafach v'chisa. Whew, boy, that's a relief. So that means you do not do gerira off of the mizbeach and then go ahead and do a covering of the dam, because that didn't sound right when we said it. So hasha the atita la'achi, now that we finally arrive at this understanding, that the pasuk itself means that you cannot require another step between the shvicha and the kisei adam. So then, afilu tema kachem mizbeach. Let's go back to the simple meaning of it. It says in the Mishnah, there's no din of kisei adam by kodesh. It didn't make a difference between kachem mizbeach or kachem bedek habayit. So now that we understand this, it could be true about all kachem. Afilu tema kachem mizbeach. The same way that we said kachem bedek habayit, there would be no way to understand that the pasuk is b'chayiv you to do shvicha, pidyon, and then kisui. Same thing is true. There's no way that the Torah would be mechayev you to do shvicha of the dam on the mizbeach, gerira of the dam from the mizbeach, and then kisui. In which case, afilu tema kachem mizbeach, it's exactly the same logic. Mi she'eino mechusar ela shvicha, directly to kisui. Yotzeze shemechusar shvicha, and then gerira, and then kisui. And that would be the only way we could do it. That's not what the Torah says. Wow. Woo. Okay. Mar Baravashi says, you know, I got a very simple explanation about why it is that kachim are not included. I mean, whew, you guys have dragged us across a whole daf to try to get to something, which actually is quite obvious if you take my approach. The pasuk said beferish, remember, Said Sayan, I mean, really, Asher Yatzut Said Chaya O'Of, right? Now, putting that Chaya O'Of together means that this is a hekesh of Chaya Ta'of. So, what does Chaya mean? You tell me. Does Chaya include Kachim? No. By definition, there is no Chaya that could be actually Kadosh B'Kedushas of the Hegdash for the Mizbeach. It's never brought on the Mizbeach. And therefore, if the Chaya is not referring to Kodesh, then Oaf is also not referring to the kind of Oaf that's Kodesh in order for the Hekesh of Chaya of Oaf to be meaningful. Now you'll tell me, oh, but wait a minute, if you say it's a Hekesh, so then what we should say is that Chaya implies that a species that is never Kodesh is what we're talking about over here. And therefore, if it's said in the Pasuk, Chaya O'Of, that would mean the only Ofot that we're talking about in this Pasuk are the kind of birds that don't have Kedusha, which would mean that if you would be Shechting Torin uvnei yonah that are not Kodesh, since they are a species that could be Kodesh, they don't match up with the Chaya, where no species could be Kodesh, and therefore they should be excluded all over from the din of Kisui Adam, whether they are Kodesh or not. So the Hekesh would make the din of Kisui Adam not applicable to Torin uvnei yonah at all, even if they're not Kodesh. How do you explain that? Says Mar Bar Rav Ashi, well, no, the Hekesh does not support that because it had to be like a Chaya. And just like the Chaya, there's no difference between one species of Chaya or another because no Chaya is Roy for Kodesh. Af of lo tachalokpo, there's no difference in any kind of bird either. All types of birds are included in the Chiev, even Torim uvnei yonah. And therefore, it for sure does not apply because of my Hekesh. It does not apply to these birds. Same way that it doesn't apply to the Chayot when it comes to Hekesh. Now, we said that the mitzvah is only Nogea Chayot and Ofot, and definitely not Behemot. And that's what it says. It says, Tzev Chaya. Or Oaf. But the problem is, we have a klal all over Shas that we've seen so many times that whenever the Torah uses the word chaya, it means behema as well. Chaya b'chlal behema, and behema b'chlal chaya. So how come over here, all of a sudden, we're saying, no, the Torah said chaya, and it only meant a deer, not a cow? I mean, why is that? It's not what it means anywhere else. Now, there was this famous Apicurus. He was really not an Apicurus. He was a Christian. So Yaakov, they used to call him Yaakov Minoah, Yaakov the Min. And then the Gemara refers to Minim at that time. It was talking about the early believers of Christianity. So this guy was a Talmud Chacham, but he was one of these freaks, J freaks, you know. So he says to Rava, look, how come all over in the Torah Kaimalan that Chaya Bichlal Behemah, when it comes to Simanim, I mean, it doesn't say the Simanim Beferish. We said before that when it says Behemah, and it specifically talks about, in other places, it talks about them as Chaya, Zot HaChaya, Sher Tochlu, and so on. They're both included in each other. Why don't we say that over here too? That a behema is included in the din of chaya for the din of kisui adam, the same way that zot haChaya sheTochlu would include behemoths, and why not here too? So Rava said to him, Omar Leh, it's because of this problem that the Torah specified Alecha Omar Kra. So where the Torah was talking about the dinim of eating, and this is talking about the achila of basar taiva. So you're eating something that you just feel like eating, right? So, basar, and so on. So it says, Rak chazak nefesh, im habasar. But ha'kasher yachelat ha'tzvi ve'etayal kein tochlenu ha'tomei v'ator yachtav. But lo tochlenu, don't eat the dam ala arz tishpachenu kamayim. Oh, whoa, 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 ala arz tishpachenu kamayim. But if you're going to be tishpachenu kamayim, then it would mean that you don't actually spill the blood and mechasa it. You just spill it out the way you would spill out water. Why would the Torah compare it to water when it talks about the behemot? That's because mamayim lo boi kisui, so to these behemot lo boi kisui. And since over there it mentions beferish mi bekorcha umitzonecha, it's bakar v'tzon that you spill it out like water, to tell me that this particular case, the tzeid chaya, does not include bakar v'tzon. So wait a minute, this guy's got a problem. Would you say, if you're telling me, Rava sir, that it's like water, why can't we make a mikveh out of blood? Maybe Paro had the right idea, and you can actually be tevel in a mikveh of blood, because the Torah compares it to pure water, to shpechenu kamayin. Nah, I mean, the Torah said beferish, ach mayanu bor mikveh mayim yetahor. So it says only, ach, only a mayanu bor, only these things. Yes, that is yetahor. That is something will be mitire people. Anything else, like a blood mikveh? No. Well, wait, 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 wait. It's not so simple, because remember, there are other types of mashkin. They're not called water, but they are mashkin. So how about an apple juice mikveh? Or how about a frozen yogurt mikveh? I mean, we can get this really exciting. So those kind of things that are not called mayim, but that they are actually called mashkim, so all right, not frozen yogurt, all right, not apple juice. How about a honey mikveh? What would you say about that? Now that sounds delicious. So maybe that's what it's coming to say. Things that are not called mayim, it has to be bar mikveh mayim, but dam is called mayim. So maybe that is included, so that the ach is coming only to exclude specifically the honey and things like it, like the Shiva Mashkin, an oil mikveh, a tal mikveh. Well, that's a good point, but remember that it doesn't only say ach bor, it says ach mayan mayim, bor mayim. We have bor mayan and bor mikveh, mayan bor mikveh, so we really end up having three achs. It has to be mayan mayim and not this, bor mayim and not this, so we've got two miutim so far. Well, even two miutim, I could say. Both miutim are coming to exclude an oil mikveh. One of them is to be mamayit, a mikveh that was actually done through zechila, where it's flowing. And one of them is to be mamayit, an oil mikveh that's in one place, to be mamayit mechunasim, because remember, even if we have mayim, which is mayim she'uvim, if we allow it to flow over the ground before it goes into the mikveh, it can be mashlam a mikveh. So maybe we need two separate psukim to be memayet these liquids from any situation, whether they flowed or whether they were put directly into the bor. Well, actually, we've got three miyutim, because the ach refers to the bor, mayan, and mikveh. So we've got mayan mayim, bor mayim, mikveh mayim, in which case we've got all three of them are excluded, whether it's other mashkim that are not called mayim, whether it's dam that is called mayim, and whether it flowed over bezechila into this bar or not. Either way, the Torah says it's water all the way down, and don't try to give me a mikveh of dam. Now, the next thing that we said was that actually it has to be something that is even in your rishus, but that's not what it says in the pasuk. In the pasuk, it says asher yatsud which seems to mean that only if you came across it and you trapped it. But if you had it in your house the whole time, like a chicken farm, you would not have to do Kisuya Dan. So says the Brayta, Asher Yatsud, if that's all it's said, I would have thought that means Eini Ella Asher Yatsud. But how about if you've got a farm of these things and they're nitzodim v'omdim aleihem, they've been there the whole time, like somebody who's raising geese or somebody who's raising chickens on a farm? Talmud Lomar, that's why it says Asher Yatsud Tzeid Chaya. That additional lotion of tzeid is not necessary, and therefore it could mean things that are living in a state of tzeid. Or maybe some are mefarish, otherwise, this is good. So, Talmud Lomar tzeid b'chol makom. So then, why did you say Asher Yatsud in the first place? There was no need to say that. Ah, that's coming to teach Derech Eretz, to teach you that you do not walk into a supermarket and buy a plastic-wrapped piece of meat and say, well, now I'm ready to eat meat. No. That's why it says, if you're hungry, and ki taveh nafshecha, then here's what to do. You go out, and you trap it, and you shecht it, and then you've invested in it, and then you can have your meat. You are not a little spoiled monstrosity that goes and walks into a shop that has ground up an animal, and you buy hamburger meat wrapped in plastic in a supermarket. That is disgusting. And therefore, in Kein Matam Lomar Asher Yatsud, Limda Torah Derech Eretz, Shelo Yochal Adam Basar, Ela Bazmanah Zot. You want to eat meat? Then you invest in it. And you don't just walk into a supermarket and spoil yourself with $150 hamburgers showing off that you've got the best. And the Tanur Rabbanan, I'm trying to just get a little bit ahead, if it's okay, because the next one is going to be Mitzvah Tisha B'Av, which is not an easy deal, right? So Tanur Rabbanan, Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha zgvulcha kasher diber, ve'amartem ochal basar. So what does it say over there? V'zavachta. So there again, limda Torah derech eretz, that if you want to eat, you eat only because you're under special tavan afshechala chol basar. What do you have to put that in? I don't understand. Because you're hungry? Well, obviously, if I want to eat, it's because I'm hungry. So it's a little silly, the pasuk. Ah, but if the pasuk is saying you should only eat meat if you have a specific sense that you're missing meat protein and you're driven to eat that, and you don't always feel you need to eat that, that's when to eat meat. It's only when you have that special, your body is telling you, I need meat protein. You might think you should go to a supermarket and buy meat. You don't go to a supermarket. If you've invested in raising the meat, then you can eat the meat. And if you've invested in raising the meat, so what do you think? That you can shecht all of that meat? No. Everything has to be done with the proper midah, the proper derech eretz. You've got cattle, you can take one of them. You've got sheep, you can take one of them. Meat zonecha velo kol zonecha. And mikan amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was koveya. Depending on how much money you have available. So if you've got a money in the bank, 100 zuz, so you can go ahead and you can buy some veggies. Nothing more expensive. Buy some veggies and make yourself a veggie stew. So yikach lefaso litro yerek. If you've got 10 manas, okay, then you can buy some fish. If you've got 50 manas, then you can buy even a kilo of meat, a liter of basar. If you're a millionaire and you've got mea manas, so then fine, people can cook up for him a pot of meat a day. And that he can eat whatever he can afford if he's that rich. But what about these other people? I mean, does it say b'chol yom? So when, so this is my locus, how to learn this. When do other people eat meat, or when would other people eat what they're allowed to eat? Erev Shabbat, the expensive stuff should be eaten only from one weekend to the next weekend. Omar Rav, so Rav says, we've got to be very careful. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says such a thing, people pretend that it's all that you can eat whatever you want. No. Tzrichim anu lechush ledivrei zakein. We need to think about that and to be worried about that. Don't spend money on things that you really can't afford. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, easy for Rav to say, because Abba, which is the other word for Rav, remember the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about whether the real name is Rav or the real name is Abba. Abba mimishpachat bri'imav. Yeah, he came from such a healthy family. He doesn't need to eat a lot of meat protein, and that's why he says, you got to watch out. Keep Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Don't eat those hamburgers. But people like us, if you got a penny, you run into the supermarket and you get protein, because otherwise you're going to end up getting sick, and then we're going to need to take care of you, and that's going to cost everybody money, because they're going to say, oh, poor Mr. So-and-so is ill, and forget about it. You take whatever money you got and buy protein. Reb Nachman says, ha, easy for Reb Yochanan to say. People like us should borrow money or use a credit card, which you'll never be able to pay up, but get that protein when you can. You're going, anu lo vimlo klin. We're so weak and need so much food that we should actually borrow money if we need to eat, because otherwise you're never going to be able to earn money again. You'll be so ill. All right, great. So this is beautiful. I don't want to keep you any longer. So, we managed a little bit of our Tisha B'Av daf here. Excellent.